unclean spirits. Jesus cast out an unclean spirit from a man who interrupted him. You know, the unclean spirit places in the Bible make me uncomfortable. In the time of Jesus, folks with brain disorders or mental illness were thought to be possessed by unclean spirits. And that idea even has carried through in religious circles long after the medicine has identified brain disorders and mental illness and has found ways in many instances to treat those illnesses. The pray away the demon theology is harmful. Harmful to folks who suffer from brain disorders, from mental illness. I believe that God is capable of healing any illness, and that God has given us the ability to continually find more effective treatments to disease. And so merely praying away the demon ignores God's presence in medicines as well as in prayer. I struggle with the whole casting out demons parts of the Bible because I wonder how things would have been different if brain illness were treated as other illnesses in the Bible. I wonder if Jesus didn't get that brain disorders are something that can be treated, just like other illnesses can be treated. But then I also wonder, Jesus healed people who couldn't see and who couldn't walk and who woke up after being dead. He didn't make really a huge deal about it as he did it. There was no parade, no giant sideshow for people to be distracted by. In this case, in today's reading, Jesus cast out an unclean spirit without any fancy rituals. When the man was healed, the folks, they got that Jesus was something way outside what they'd ever experienced. He was the real thing, while others who would try the same thing were just pretenders. He cured the man with a brain disorder, a mental illness. Of an affliction that the people would have understood him to have. So he said, come out of him. Because all the people that were around would say, he has an unclean spirit. So Jesus healed him of what everyone said that he had. He announced that the man was no longer afflicted and was again restored to the community. That's it. See, Jesus' way, it's one of restoration, not disdain. So I wonder for all of us, have you ever treated someone with a brain disorder or a mental illness, or any disability for that matter, as an outcast who really just needed to snap out of it? Jesus' way of restoration is also one that has to do with justice for those who are outcast. And so I wonder, what am I doing? What is anyone doing individually? How are we involved in community to bring restoration and justice to those who are outcast? See, Jesus' witness, Jesus' actions, Jesus' life calls us not to be the place where everyone behaves, or where we learn how to stay out of trouble and live a successful life. What Jesus calls us to think, to do, to be, is a community that reaches out in restoration. So you got this running through your head. You've also got running through all of our heads. We've got financial issues. We've got uncertainty issues. We're struggling with how we're going to be as a church in the coming months and beyond. We've got every reason to decide that it's just time to take a breather. It's time to regroup and take care of the minimum we need to just get by for a while. And taking care of the minimum just to get by isn't what Jesus' witness, Jesus' actions, Jesus' life calls us to do. Jesus' actions, his witness, his life are about restoration, about inclusion, about attention to one another, about action. That's the way that Jesus calls us to. So now is always the time to be a community that lives restoration. Now is always the time to be a community that lives inclusion. Now is always the time to be a community that lives attention to one another. Now is always the time to be a community that lives action. So how? That's always the big part. Knowing is easier, but the big part, how? How do you be a community that lives restoration, inclusion, attention, and action, even when things are all topsy-turvy? Well, you got to start, as always, now, with an invitation. Invite folks that aren't supposed to be included to come and experience something different from church. Acceptance. And more than that, inclusion. And more than that, being valued. And more than that, celebration. And more than that, true, unconditional love. So start with the invitation. Invite the folks that aren't supposed to be included. And who are the folks that aren't supposed to be included? It includes everyone. It includes everyone who's here. It includes everyone who's not here. So you invite people you see in the grocery stores. You invite people who cut you off when you're driving. And I know you can't really invite them at that moment, but let me go, I'm on a roll. You invite people you meet in the bars. Invite people who annoy you. Invite people who are your friends. Invite people who aren't your friends. Invite people that you meet at strip clubs. Invite people at the gas station, the post office, at school, wherever. Invite people who say that they never liked, never felt welcome at, or saw any need for this community of faith that we call church. And may all who come here experience something different, something wonderful, something challenging, something life-giving, something restorative and inclusive. Something that shows people paying attention to one another. Something that calls people to loving, welcoming, and justice-related action. So may all who come here be wonderfully surprised as they experience something marvelous that they can't quite explain, but instead remark with this inspired smile, "What is this?" Amen.